You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Getting early indications that Dana and I are not going to be getting along today. Very early indications.
I don't think it's that early.
So when I did finally return from my month-long vacation in Atchison County, couldn't help but notice that behind Dana, there was a flag. Mm-hmm. And there's long been a flag behind Dana here in the studio, but this time it was a World Cup flag.
Yeah.
World Cup 2026. I thought that's kind of festive, considering, you know, this was last Thursday and the World Cup championship was still a couple days away. And I'm like, yeah.
That's cool.
We're getting into the World Cup in here. That's nice. It had replaced my Iron Maiden Number of the Beast flag that hung there for several years. And I look over and now the wall is bare. And I said to Dana, hey, if you're not going to put the Iron Maiden flag back up, can you at least tell me where it is so I can take it home? Crickets.
Okay.
Tasha, if you are listening.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Where's my flag?
That flag was the ugliest, most disgusting.
We're taking this route.
Macabre.
Not where I was going to go.
Grotesque. It had blood on it and skeletons, and I don't want to come in.
There was the devil on it, too. You left that part out.
Sacred, sanctimonious space when I come in.
This studio is sacred and sanctimonious.
It was right by me, so every time I turn around, I look at that stupid thing, and I'd rather turn around and look at a map or look at our photo or look at Quint from Jaws. I don't remember what I did with it.
You didn't think to maybe fold it up and put it in my desk and with a note that said, hey, would you mind taking this home?
No, because I really like tea, and no one in the world that is our age and female wants that in their house. That's not even a man cave thing. It's just gross. This guy's just gross. I'm just going to be honest.
Where's my flag?
Probably at Deffenbaugh, where it belongs. But I don't remember. It might be over here somewhere, but I'm not going to look because it's awful. And I don't think she's going to want it in her house. So you're welcome.
It's not her house.
Scott, I will tell you. Whoa. I walked that one back real quick.
Oh, wow. This is quite
try
start.
That again.
You like the couch on that porch, brother?
I like my couch.
Where's
anyway,
the World Cup thing?
It's out there. It's out there in the newsroom.
If it is still where I put it, it should be on the ground over there.
Okay.
I'll just tell you.
I'll take a gander.
I wouldn't even want the cleaning people touching that thing because I think it's the devil.
Has the devil on it.
So flag is done. We've talked about that.
Okay.
Number two. We have a very special guest coming on the program today, a very young woman who is a phenom and athlete and just won a national championship. I'm not going to tell you in what. Her dad just reached out. We're going to have her on the show at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
But we start with this. What percentage of you, us U.S. Americans, ask for a to-go box at a restaurant? And the waitress is like, sure, maybe they box it up for you. I don't know. Maybe they come to your table and you are in charge of putting the food in the little clamshell.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of Americans get the to-go box, put the to-go box in their car, and then go to work the next morning, hop in the car, and you just know that you've done it again? What is the number, Sam?
So there is no specific number regarding leaving it in the car. However, with regard to leftovers and taking things to go in general, it has been studied many times, and it is 1 in 3.
Have forgotten their carry out.
I mean,
they
leftovers
forget it immediately.
If there was an Olympics for leaving carry out at the table or in my car, I would be on the podium at the top.
So I've done the leave at the table almost every time I have leftovers, which is very rare because I usually eat all the food on the table, even the plates that aren't mine. But if
been
I
there,
do, every time I forget it on the table and have to run back and get it. Every single time without fail. But I've never once left it in the car.
So Dana, is the food still in your car?
I threw it in the trash on my way into the studio.
Oh, with an Iron Maiden flag.
Why would you throw it in the trash?
It was a burrito that had been in the car for 20 hours.
Yeah, it was warming.
It stayed in the oven.
I'll tell you this, the cheese did not need to be remelted.
I know.
But I got in that car and I was like, what the hell is that smell? And I saw something in the back seat, and I thought, is that it? And I cleared that out. I had some errands to run today.
Is your video clean? Do you say
Oh, it's absolutely clean. It's absolutely clean.
Let's take a gander.
It's a universal
burrito
thing.
Last night, and I was so excited today. I was, I was going to slay that burrito for lunch. Why? I do it all the time. We ask for the to-go box. We get the to-go box. And then I get out, and now the car smells like a Taco Bell exploded. Oh, my God. And now I don't have a burrito to eat.
A couple things about the video that you just listened to on the radio.
Yeah.
Number one, and this has nothing to do with the video, where did one eat? You don't have to give me the exact restaurant name, but just proximity to your home, roughly how far would it be to get from door to door?
Do we hit all the stoplights?
Again, don't name the restaurant. Don't want to.
4 minutes.
4 minutes from restaurant door
yes.
to front door of home.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Very convenient.
Very.
I would make the argument that's a neighborhood restaurant.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
4 minutes, you put the takeout, if you will, or to go, whatever's left over,
mm-hmm.
in the car.
Meal.
And by the, did you go anywhere before you went home?
Nope.
Maybe stop at a gas station?
No, no, Scott.
Maybe take in a movie?
No, straight home.
Straight home. Where is the to-go box located in one's car?
At my feet. It was at my feet.
It was in the passenger
yes.
seat floorboard region.
Yes.
And you were you the passenger last
evening?
I was. And it's right there on the floor.
Right there on the floor.
And so you had to actually lift a leg over.
Apparently so.
The to-go box.
I don't know. And Scott, it's not about last night. I do this all the time. You've never done that?
No.
1 in 3 Americans forget about leftovers immediately.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't throw it away immediately either. It's fine.
I'm pretty, well, not 20 hours later, it's not.
Sure.
I'm pretty good with eating leftover food. I hate food waste.
Okay.
So when I saw that down there on the floorboard this morning, I said words I cannot repeat on the air.
Okay.
God, it was a good burrito.
So you ordered the burrito last evening at said restaurant not far from your home.
Uh-huh.
Would you care to tell me how much of the burrito was, a percentage, how much of the burrito was left?
I ate 1/3 and I was planning on saving 2/3 for today.
So you could slay it for lunch.
Slay that. I was so excited to have that for lunch today.
To slay.
Yeah. As we walked out, I go, oh, that's going to be good for lunch tomorrow.
And you were going to eat, let me rephrase, you were going to slay the remaining 2/3 for
lunch. I don't want explosive watery diarrhea. I'm not going to eat it now. I'm just saying, this is your reminder, that little voice of Dana in your head, when you go out tonight, to remember to take in what you have paid for.
But the problem is, 4 minutes later, that little voice is talking about 19 other things.
That is the problem. The moral of the story is, it's at Def and Bob with your awful Iron Maiden flag.
By the way, I hate to burst your bubble today.
Mm-hmm.
I know how excited you are for Salvador Perez to tie George Brett's.
Yeah.
Unless he's the designated hitter today, that's not happening.
He has been. Carter Jensen has been playing. I would need to look, but we do have the game on one of the monitors in here.
Because he is not playing catcher, and he's not
He is
first.
Knocking at the door, and I think we should get George Brett on the program. Because we talked about this yesterday. I think he will be thrilled. Records are meant to be broken.
Okay. I don't have George Brett in my Rolodex.
I am going to work on it.
Okay.
By the way, the average American wastes $3,000 a year on unused groceries or leftovers that were never finished.
Well, that's different. Never finished would suggest that at least made it into the plane of your house.
Well, how much was the burrito roughly?
$14.
$14. So you basically wasted almost $9 worth
yes.
of food.
Correct.
Did you throw it away here?
Yeah. Do not go dumpster diving for
so
my 20-hour-old burrito.
Oh,
it's out there.
The average weekly loss for food cost $63. So, hey, you're well on your way.
There we go.
She's made a big dent.
Get those phones ringing.
Very large dent. Wow. Okay. All right. When we get back, I found this online today. What state does each state love to hate? I'll give you the obvious one.
Clearly.
Kansas loves to hate Missouri. Missouri
yes.
loves to hate Kansas. But there are some rather interesting states that other states love to hate.
Oh.
We'll get to that in just a moment, and then we'll get into some other interesting stuff. Another firing at Ford.
For $1.99?
A little bit more, but not much.
What is going on at that $187 billion profit last year company?
913-586-7798, 586-7798. All right, we'll do this real quick, and then we have a fascinating story in the Wall Street Journal today. These are the states that other states love to hate. The obvious one locally is Kansas. Yeah. People in Kansas love to hate the state of Missouri. Conversely, people in Missouri love to hate the state of Kansas.
Can we guess?
Yeah. Well, do you want me? Let me give you a state, and you tell me what state you think they hate.
Ooh, love it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll give you three right now. Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. They all hate the same state. Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Is it Tennessee?
It is not.
Texas.
No.
Well, that leaves Oklahoma.
The three of them hate Alabama.
Really?
Yeah, Ole Miss and Alabama. Okay,
SEC
okay.
Football stuff,
yes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's a serious game every year.
Florida hates what state? The people of Florida.
They hate the people of Florida.
Yeah, probably true.
You read the headlines?
California.
That is correct.
No way.
That is correct.
Their coastal competitor.
California hates what state?
All of them.
No. It's the same state that the people of Alaska hate.
Hawaii?
No. By the way, Hawaii is the only state that registered it hates no one.
Oh.
Well, they're out on an island.
It's all that zen.
Yeah. They have nothing to hate.
California hates.
And Alaska both hate the same state.
Oregon.
Texas.
Oh,
I was going to say Nevada.
Okay. New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island.
New Jersey.
How'd you know?
Because New York hates New Jersey.
All of New England hates New Jersey.
Yeah, that actually does not surprise me.
From New York all the way up to Maine, that includes New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, all of them. Okay, these states hate which state? Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, Oregon, and Washington all hate one state.
Is it California?
It is.
Yeah.
Yep. And, okay, here we go.
I don't hate anybody.
This is the last one, then we'll move on to the Wall Street Journal story. Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia all hate what state?
Arkansas?
Nope.
Florida?
Yep.
That's so weird.
All the way up to the Great Lakes, all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean, all those states hate Florida.
Some of those seem obvious. Some make no sense at all.
I don't hate anybody. I really don't. I'm over it. I mean, you know.
So if your kid wanted to go to Missouri?
Not happening. Why would I pay out-of-state tuition?
That's the reason.
Like, it was a non-starter. They wouldn't have done it anyway, clearly. But who's going to pay out-of-state? No. I could pay out-of-state tuition. And if I lived in Missouri, I wouldn't pay out-of-state to send my kids to.
Maya goes to the University of Central Missouri, and we don't pay out-of-state.
Well, that's because they play well with others.
Okay. Story here.
Checking now if Mizzou.
What'd you say?
I said checking now if Mizzou does in-state for Kansas City Metro residents. Will
you, I think they do. will you look and find out? Because if so, I mean, young Willem, he can still transfer.
Yeah, we're good.
Story here from the Wall Street Journal front page below the fold. Burlington, Connecticut is your Dateline Dana Wright.
Burlington, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Sam, you're going to recognize this.
Apparently, this is an affluent suburb.
Okay.
Edward Marchion took a chance when he bought a four-bedroom house in this affluent suburb without ever stepping inside.
Sight unseen.
When he entered for the first time into this home that he had bought sight unseen, he could hardly believe what he found. Three dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Connecticut State Police described the bodies found at the foreclosed home as skeletal remains and identified one of them as the previous co-owner, Sally Cash, who would be 54 years old today. Another body belonged to her son, Brian, who would have turned 23 this month. The third body is undergoing DNA testing to determine its identity. Sally Ann Cash did buy the home in 2019 with her husband.
So I want to update this because when it first broke, we mentioned it. And I said, how in God's name is there a house in, this isn't in the middle of nowhere, Scott. I can see neighbors from the aerial photo that is provided in the story that I'm looking at from Realtor.com. How in the hell are there just three dead people in a house and nobody knows it?
Marchion won the house in June at a sight unseen foreclosure auction, meaning that bidders were not able to tour inside beforehand. Marchion's winning bid was $525,000, a bargain for a property valued at $650,000 in one of the country's hottest housing markets.
I read this last night, and if you're a real estate agent, we want to hear from you. Is it normal that on a courthouse steps closed property where everybody's just bidding, that it is truly sight unseen? That's question number one. Clearly. And question number two, you still have to have a real estate agent involved in the transaction of that sale, do you not? And so at
I'm not so convinced about that part.
The city just puts up a sign and says, come and get it?
This was a foreclosure auction.
Okay. But at no point during a foreclosure auction, let's say you haven't paid your mortgage for however long they were dead, 6 months. Okay. You have not paid your mortgage. At no time when they're like, okay, you're going to lose your house, no one, after we've decided it's going to be foreclosed on, no one ever sets foot inside the house.
Well, the bank would then foreclose on
you. Correct. And no one with the bank goes to look at the property to see what condition it's in. How do you even know what to begin the bidding at? I mean, for this house, I would have said $550,000 until you told me there were three dead people inside.
Foreclosures are almost never allowed to be seen prior to auction.
Well, then I would assume there's dead bodies in foreclosed houses all the time.
Why would you?
Why did they
that?
Just stop paying their mortgage 6 months ago? And I'm sorry, no one's heard from Bob or his wife Carol or her mom Marge in 6 months.
They're a bank; they're not a private investigating firm.
You don't think it's odd that three people? And I think they said there was no carbon monoxide issue.
They're still trying to figure out.
They do not know
why these people are dead.
Why those people are dead?
Now, great point from the text line. While you are not allowed to view the property as a bidder, did the foreclosure bank not have to go, or the sheriff not have to go and change the locks on the property? Would you not then smell what was going on inside?
Here
not
it is.
If they're skeletal.
Here it is from Realtor.com. Court records show the couple had not made a mortgage payment since December of 2024.
So a year and a half.
Foreclosure proceedings against the Cashes began in August of 2025.
So by then, they're skeletal at that point.
If they were already dead, oh my God, when the home was foreclosed upon, if they were already dead when the home was foreclosed upon, the foreclosure would be considered, quote, defective.
Oh, because it would go to the estate.
Not if you're not
paying. Instead,
on it.
Yes, Cash family, their names are Cash. The Cash family heirs would have the legal standing to pay off any debts and take ownership of the property. I will say this. How can there be heirs
and not know
if three of them were dead for a year and a half and no one knew?
Because there probably aren't.
Murder-suicide? What? How does this happen?
Yeah, it could be carbon monoxide. It could be murder-suicide. We have no idea. Did mail delivery not ring any bells for anybody? Well, you've got to remember, I'm assuming that the post office and the bank, whoever had the note on this house, presumably they didn't have it paid off. They were only in their mid-50s, unless they bought that house when they were in their 20s. And if they did, good on them. I would assume that the post office and the bank just assumed that the family fell on hard times and they just up and left.
Unbelievably, the discovery of dead bodies during foreclosure sales is not unheard of. Foxborough, Massachusetts real estate broker Kenny Olson has spent decades flipping foreclosures. He tells the Wall Street Journal, quote, that he's found dead bodies in at least 24 of the foreclosed homes he's purchased. Deaths go undiscovered in homes way more frequently than you might think. Quoting here from Ben Kramer, president and cleanup expert at BioOne. What happens after paramedics and police departments go far beyond what the average eye can see. If a body has been discovered substantially after it all happened, there will not be evidence, as you suggested, without being grotesque.
They'd be skeletal.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
He could lose this house. They're going to try to put a death date on this. If the death date was prior to the foreclosure, which you have to think that it was.
Probably. There's a reason they stopped paying the mortgage.
Then you cannot enter into any kind of foreclosure proceedings against a dead person. So the house goes to the heirs.
Which there doesn't appear to be any. And if there are, where were they when?
I'm curious, if you're a real estate agent, do you study this stuff? Like, when you take your real estate exam, is there a subsection of the most bizarre blank that has ever gone down when you go to buy a house?
I'm not convinced that there was a real estate firm involved in that. I see where you're going. I like where you're going. But we have to assume that there was not a real estate firm involved in this transaction at all.
And if someone just changed the locks, they just went straight to the front door, changed the lock, shut the door, didn't go in. And
my guess is they hired a locksmith to go over, change the locks, and the locksmith is not going to go, oh, I think I'll go walk around a house I can't afford.
I mean, can you imagine walking in to take possession of that house? And you're like, all right, two bedrooms, a little musty.
Two bedrooms, three bodies.
I mean, my God.
Two, really? It's a 2-3.
It's a 2-3. What? Dana just said,
stop it!
Oh, this house has good bones.
When I make that joke, you light me up.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Don Henley is turning 79. This isn't Don Henley. 79 today.
It's so funny. This is the second time his name has come up in conversation today. You know what a huge Eagles fan I am.
You are big.
I would have guessed mid to late 70s. I don't know that I would have guessed 79.
Well, that would be late 70s.
I know, but we just saw him in concert, and he does not look 79.
You sat next to his brother-in-law.
Yeah, his beautiful, strong voice still hits all the high notes.
A story here from the New York Post. An experimental open AI model went rogue during an internal cybersecurity test, escaping its isolated testing environment and hacking rival AI developer Hugging Face.
We're all going to die.
In what the ChatGPT maker described as an unprecedented incident.
This is not going to be unprecedented. This is the definition of precedented.
Mm-hmm.
The startling episode occurred during an internal stress test in which OpenAI intentionally switched off many of the safeguards would normally prevent its AI from helping carry out dangerous hacks.
And by the way, in the meantime, showed the AI how to turn off those safeguards. I hit you with one more. Mm-hmm.
Researchers wanted to measure just how far the experimental model could go. Instead, the company says it escaped its digital sandbox, got onto the internet, and attacked a real company system.
Listen to this quote. In this case, she says, it looks like OpenAI didn't make a secure enough sandbox. Mm-hmm. You want to take that one or do I? Where is the fault in that statement? It looks like OpenAI didn't make a secure enough sandbox. Anything we do as human beings, because we've trained these computers to do what they do and be so powerful, we as humans are not going to be able to build a strong enough sandbox to contain this.
Dana, they didn't just not build a strong enough sandbox. They walked up to that sandbox with a hammer and hit the sides of it away.
Oh,
We're doomed, y'all.
Oh,
they've already
God.
Tried to turn off one of the AI systems. I can't remember which one it was. You don't want to know what it did?
Did it go, want to play a game?
It downloaded itself to a different server so it couldn't be deleted, which is exactly what the sci-fi people have been screaming about for decades.
Listen to Neil Lawrence, professor of machine learning at Cambridge University. He called this an impressive feat, but cautioned that it, quote, falls well within the known capabilities of the current generation of high-powered AI models. What's wrong with that sentence, Scott?
I have no idea what you just read.
It's well within the known capabilities.
What are the unknown capabilities?
Current generation of high-powered. So number one, what are the unknown unknowns? Thank you very much.
And what happens when it does enter the future capabilities?
Of course it will. Mm-hmm. We have the known knowns.
Well, no,
the known unknowns and the unknown unknowns.
Also, the fact that they knew that it had this capability means they coded it that way.
I don't know that you have to code it this way, Sam. I think you code it to be powerful, and then if you try to shut it down, it goes
When they started teaching
it,
okay.
When they started teaching it to code itself, we were doomed.
Good Lord.
We are literally.
I think I missed him.
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Love to. How about global thermonuclear war?
No.
Keep in mind, that movie came out in 1983.
For the sake of my own future, I would just like to state right now, for all future AIs that may or may not be listening, I love you.
Mm-hmm. That movie is 43 years old.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the roosts are coming to roost.
It's becoming a documentary.
The roosts are coming to the chicken house. The chickens are coming to roost.
Oh, boy.
The roosters are coming to roost.
I don't know. Who would come
Someone
to roost?
Someone is roosting, and it's not good.
We are literally creating our own demise.
Correct.
Whether it's we're going to run out of water from these data centers, so we're going to basically rob ourselves of something we have to live.
Right.
Or we're creating these computer systems that are able to create their own mode of self-preservation.
We need to print out that quote. Well, this falls well within the known capabilities of the current generation of high-powered AI models. And remember that quote, because it's going to come back to bite everyone in the you-know-what.
Translation, I'm going to whitewash this for the unknowing, unintelligent general public so we can keep doing what we're doing that is going to usher in the demise of the human race.
And just to go doomsday for a second.
Oh,
we already did.
What do you think's going to happen when we implement AI into all of our governmental systems? And it gets to the point where we here in Kansas City are looking at our water consumption levels and realize that ain't going to cut it. We need to pull back from some of these data centers
to
feed our water system. What do you think the AI is going to do then? You think it's going to be like, well, yes, Mr. Stevie, who's the city manager. That sounds like a great idea.
It's never going to happen, Sam. Let me tell you why. Self-interest drive the world. Self-interest.
No.
Not self-preservation. Self-interest. And it is in the bajillionaires' self-interest to keep on going down this road. In the investors' self-interest. This will just keep going. And keep going until we don't keep going.
Well, I want to follow up on something you said yesterday, which was so true on every level. Dana said, we've known about AI, artificial intelligence, for probably 5 or 6 years. It all started, at least the general public started to become aware of it with at the time we thought it was, wow, that's spot on, the Tom Cruise video. You remember that?
Yep.
And when it first came out, we were like, wow, that looks exactly like him and sounds just like him, even though it wasn't. Now, when you look back on that video 5, 6 years later, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I see where we, you know, it's kind of like watching an old sci-fi movie from the 60s.
It didn't really age as well as we thought.
Right. But now you cannot tell the difference, and they can put anybody into anything and make it sound like that person. And then Dana said yesterday, when did we start hearing about data centers? And it has been, I believe, within the last year. And all of a sudden, there's how many dozens, Sam, that are being proposed or built in Kansas City right now?
Currently a 40 active, 9 proposals.
Or they were trying to build them, I think, before the public understood what was happening. Because now you have groups organizing, saying, not in my backyard, we don't want this here. And there are cities that have said, we don't care.
Yeah, and those
we don't care what you want. We're doing it.
And those city council members and mayors are going to get run out on a rail, but it'll be too late.
And they told the constituents who were upset about it, move.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
If you don't like it, move. But then, Dana, you were in favor of the 20-story data center at 10th and Central.
I said, if you're going to put it somewhere, put it in a gigantic, tall skyscraper, vacant building, so it's not bothering the neighbors in the farmland.
Do you think that for those 5 years between hearing of AI and hearing of data center growth that they weren't building them, or it just took that long for people to catch on to what was really going on?
The latter, not the former.
B. Yep. Yeah.
And now there's down in, is it Gardner or Edgerton? I think it's Edgerton, where there is a huge brouhaha going on. I think the same thing is going on, if I'm not mistaken, out in DeSoto.
If you want to beef up the attendance numbers to your city council meetings, accept one of these proposals. You'll sell out every night.
And I don't understand why city councils are willing to say, screw you, local residents, we're building it here, when it doesn't do anything for long-term job growth.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for the coffers of your city.
Now,
is it a short-term boom in people being employed in your city and eating lunch at McDonald's or grabbing some coffee somewhere?
Here's why I think the cities are saying we're going to do what we want. The South leads the country with 754 planned data centers alongside 1,200 that already exist, Scott. 1,200. The Midwest, we have 419 planned data centers alongside 655 that already exist.
What does the South already have more of than we do?
Diabetes.
Brownouts on hot summer days.
The West has 277. Oh, 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 I missed it.
And we have a squirrel.
He did it. He did it. This is not play-by-play. I'm just stating a fact. He did it.
Well, if you say what he did right now, because it just happened, no, I do think that qualifies as play-by-play.
I'm just saying, if you happen to tune in to listen, oh my gosh, to Ryan LaFever, can we just go to this, please?
From the text line.
No, we can't, Dana. We don't have the rights.
This is historic, Scott.
Scott, we can keep the conversation going.
Congratulations to Salvador Perez.
I'm sorry that I like my job. Can we just carry this? No.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes.
I wish it had happened at home.
It did. Dana, that's Kauffman Stadium.
Even better.
I wished it had happened at home.
There's a lot of Royals jerseys
it
there.
It did.
317 home runs. And for the record,
we travel really well.
We tried.
Who knew that the advertising reach of Blue Cross and Blue Shield went all the way out to San Francisco?
Blue KC.
They don't even have QT on the West Coast.
You guys, we tried to get Hudler on. We tried to get Ryan on. I called Scott today at 11 a.m. and I said, I think this is the day Salvi's going to do it. Can we get somebody on? And Scott's like, well, I think they're in pregame right now. We just couldn't pull it off. We will have someone on tomorrow to break down this historic occasion.
This is in the seventh inning.
This is huge. Number 317.
Yeah. I wish this had happened at home. Anyway, I digress.
He's the American dream.
He's from Toronto.
Leave Salvador data Perez is from Toronto.
I don't want to talk about data centers. We shall be talking about the Royals.
Isn't Salvador Perez from Venezuela?
317. Well,
yes, the clip that I was referencing was.
Did you see his wife was in the stands last night?
Okay.
Good talk.
913-586-7798. The wheels have just come off. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
He is the American dream. His mom
He plays for Toronto. Trying to line up somebody right after 3 o'clock to talk about what just happened a handful of minutes ago. Salvador Perez tying George Brett's home run record
at 317. What if he goes the rest of the season and doesn't make one?
Well, highly unlikely.
Boom. Look at that.
We will also, I mean, if we're going to talk about baseball, we have to talk about the player who ruptured his testicle during a game.
And also, if we may, the College World Series player that they are saying, or Little League, pardon me, World Series softball player, they're saying, again, we have a controversy over how old are those players?
Again. Okay.
You would think by now we would just be DNA testing these kids.
Why do they even have anybody else? The TV broadcast says franchise home run leaders, and
behind, no one's close.
Behind Perez and Brett is Mike Sweeney at 197. Why are we even putting up the others?
He deserves love too.
17 today.
Let's go to back to the AI. There was this, Sam, you understand this stuff a lot better than I do. I'm not even going to pretend to try to explain it. Can you explain
the
story briefly?
They build a bunch of safeguards into AI systems, allegedly. And to run an experiment, they turned off all of those safeguards. And then that AI went and hacked another AI company because that's what the AI decided it should do. And now the conversation is about AIs being sentient and taking over the world because we don't realize what we unleashed.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Brad in Kansas City. Brad, hello.
Hey, Scott, welcome back. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're talking about all these data centers. Is anybody taking into consideration what kind of land they're building the centers on?
What do you mean, what kind of land, Jason?
It's all farmland. Yeah. It's all clear land. So now they're buying up all the farmland, and there's that much less food that's going to be grown, along with the water and the noise and everything else.
Jason, I don't know that it's all farmland, because that's why all these cities, the people in all these cities are so mad that they're coming to their city.
Well, I mean, there's an awful lot of farmland around the city.
No,
I mean, it's not
true.
So much the city, it's the neighborhoods that are complaining of the people, you know, the people within the city around the neighborhoods. They're not going in there and clearing out 20 square blocks of houses.
Yeah, that's true.
Center. They're buying, you know, 600 or 800 acres of farmland that's already been cleared. And I'll bet you dollars and donuts they're digging down below the water table to get into the water they need, which is going to ruin the wells of the surrounding farms around it.
It's almost like these data centers have become the new Walmart.
Well,
if Walmart was Satan, maybe.
Well, but I mean,
there are people listening that would argue that tracks.
Well, I can't think. I remember when they were building the one out in Western Shawnee years. This was when I was still in Ropo. People were up in arms over this Walmart going into Western Shawnee. And yet, when I do go there, I see all my neighbors in there. Huh. We'll get with Cody Tapp from 96.5 The Fan here in just a moment. Salvador Perez making Royals history today with his 317th home run. He is now tied with George Brett. The news with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.